We have been talking all year and making strides, I think, all year about hospitality with the human sexuality issues that the United Methodist Church is dealing with as a denomination right now. We've also spruced up the narthex, our entrance way, too. We want to cultivate this virtue of hospitality in ourselves, and not for ourselves only, of course, but for the culture and the society that we live in. If you were here last Saturday, you experienced the hospitality of a lot of delicious chilies and wonderful pies at our Autumn Fest. And thanks to all who attended and for all who contributed items to that as well. We're also getting ready for guests. And again, we invite you to sign up for that, another expression of our hospitality here. And then again, on November 17th, in 2 weeks, with our Who We Are series. There are a lot of ancient stories about hospitality. A lot of them, especially in the Jewish and Hebrew tradition, revolve around Abraham. There's one of those writings that didn't make it into the final canon of the Old Testament scriptures, but they're good stories still. Our Jewish brothers and sisters entitled it The Testament of Abraham. And Abraham was just famous in the Hebrew faith for his hospitality. One story goes like this. Abraham was at home one evening, and there was a knock on the door. He opened it, and there was a tall, dark stranger. Abraham did not know who he was, but he welcomed him in and fed him, gave him a place to rest and opportunity to bathe, and then they began to talk. All of that, a picture-perfect scenario of Middle Eastern Jewish hospitality and putting your faith into practice. And then finally, Abraham says, excuse me, I just can't come up with your name. I don't know who you are. Who are you? And the tall, dark stranger said, I am death, and I have come for you, Abraham. And there's so many lessons in that story. The importance of doing good things, of withholding judgment until you have a conversation with someone. Fair treatment toward others, whether you know them or not. Whether or not you believe as your neighbor does. All of these things are lessons for us in these tense racial, sexual, and political times that we live in. But another lesson here is this. Can we be hospitable toward death? I don't mean wanting it. I don't mean asking for it or celebrating it. I mean in our lives as Christians. Can we be hospitable towards death? It's a challenge to us because one way that our Christian faith portrays death is as the enemy. And you don't, make room for the enemy in your life. Death is the last enemy to be conquered. That's what the Bible says. Christ conquered death. So I think about how All Saints Sunday is sort of our attempt to be hospitable towards death. It's kind of unusual this day, isn't it? All Saints. We sing hymns about it. We personalize it by reading the names of members who have passed since this time last year and remembering those in our own families as well. And in Holy Communion, we remember that it's not just about me or you taking the bread or the cup up here, but it's knowing that family and neighbors and friends have received the same bread and cup too. And we remember them. Because those who have loved and have said farewell until we meet again to loved ones know that the worst crime is for the one they love to be forgotten. So today we think of those that we have loved and said farewell to. You may know a few of them on this list. You may know none of them. You may know all of them. And we're also mindful of brothers and sisters, of children and of parents, of dear friends known by you. And these verses remind us that we need to cultivate hospitality because we don't know it, but we may be welcoming angels in our midst. And so that's part of our life of discipleship. And I was looking at this list and thinking about communion today. I thought about how everyone at this list on one time or another was a stranger to God. Everyone at one time or another didn't understand God or God's ways or God's character, but they found a place to grow here at Bethany. And over time, that gap was shortened. They worshiped, and God's ways became a bit clearer, and the gap narrowed a little bit. They served in a ministry and then came to see God working in their midst. They were part of a class or a circle, and God again became more real. Some were children in our children's ministries or youth and grow up, and perhaps some now are parents, some living close, some living a way far away. At one point in time, these made the decision to receive baptism, to receive the vows of membership, to take that step, and they felt like strangers in the beginning, but you welcomed them. You made them feel at home. And they experienced hospitality because of you. So what's important is that we practice our faith now. And I think that when God brings people into our lives, it's like a tryout. It's like a tryout. And God's waiting to see, are they going to be skeptical or caring? Are we going to be more concerned about protecting ourselves or helping people experience God? Are we loving? And to do so as if we are in the company of angels. And the cool thing is this, that when this life is, when we're entertaining angels on this side, on this moment, in this life, when this life is over and we finally walk through that door, there will be angels greeting us. There'll be angels, some strangers, welcoming us. So it goes both ways. And I've had a lot of people ask me, what do you think it'll be like? What do you think it'll be like? I think it will be like a warm spring breeze. I think it'll be and feel like a good song sung well. I think it will feel like laughter. And I think it will be like finishing a big project and having a wonderful sense of completion. Amen.